We discussed yesterday about different theories where the Western scholars mention such theories, and they think these are the reasons behind appearance of hijab in Islam. And we gave the reply that all these theories are not right, and the reason for hijab in Islam is different from what they say. Today we discuss some other points which comes in as a criticism. One of them, the argument is about hijab and freedom of the woman. Many claim that, and maybe in Western countries you hear this, even in Islamic country, some of the women who are not very religious, they put such argument. They say hijab will restrict freedom of the woman, and since the human being, whether male or female, are to be respected and they have their own human rights and they have their honor, so there is no point in forcing one who has freedom to wear special dress. This force is against the freedom and against the natural rights of the human being. Everybody has the right to live the way he wants to live. And now hijab is something forcing the woman, limiting her freedom, putting her in a special dress, and like putting her in jail. And this is not a good thing. That is why, according to their claim, that hijab is not necessary. When you find such idea common among people, and unfortunately those who are uneducated Muslims, they think in this way. But if you come to Islam and reply to this question, you say Islam has not asked the woman to be put in jail at home. No one asked the woman to be imprisoned. The only thing the Islam asks the woman, when she deals with men, she has to have a proper dress. Now, she can go out, she can work, she can have their affairs done, she can do whatever she wants, except when she comes in places where men are there, then she has to have a decent and proper dress. That dress practically will not restrict freedom of the woman, because she can walk, she can move, she can study, she can work, she can teach, she can speak, she can do business, she can sell, she can buy, she can go to market, and she can do whatever she wants. There is no restriction of the dress for her. The only thing, if that dress is wajib upon her, it is because of her physiology and her role in life, and to prevent mischief from prevailing in that society. That is why she is asked to have that special dress. Not only the women, even the men are asked to be in a decent dress. I mean, you cannot go in the street with pajama, for example. Though wearing pajama is not haram by itself, and for the men, pajama will cover his body and cover his private parts, which is wajib to be covered in front of others. But still the society says that to go out with pajama, this is not good. There are some restrictions. To go out with a very dirty cloth, then this is not respected. One cannot go to school or to the work and with his cloth full of dirt. Now, to wear a cloth full of dirt is not haram, but still the society is putting certain restrictions. There is no complete freedom without limit. Always there are limited freedom. So freedom is there when it is not affecting others or is not overriding freedom of others. Now, if our freedom will create a problem, then we say there is no freedom now, that the freedom will stop. So you say, I cannot say that I am free to come with pajama or with dirty clothes and go to work in my office. You say, no, there is no such a freedom now. If you are working in this office, you have to work with proper dress, proper shape. Everywhere there is certain things proper. So the same thing for the women in Islam. You say they can work, they can go out, they can do, but they should have the proper dress, and their shape should not be a source of stimulation for men, and that will have bad consequences. It should be stopped from the very beginning. When she talk, when she deal, when she come to men, there should be certain limits for her, and she should understand that limits. Of course, for men also were advised, when they talk with women, and they should not look, they should cast down their vision, and they should not deal unnecessarily, and that look should not be with the pleasure, should not be for sake of gaining a personal benefit, and should be very innocent look. So these advices in Islamic law is for sake of both men and women, and to prevent bad effect of viewing the women without hijab and all the bad consequences which might come. Actually, the shape of the person has a great psychological impact upon others. Now, if you see someone with a very decent, nice dress, that you feel automatically you will respect him. This man is respectful because his dress shows he is respectful. It is part of the personality of the person. If you see someone with a very bad dress, well, you think maybe this man is mad. You have not talked to them. You have not judged their mentality or their knowledge or their understanding. Only by looking, if you go in the street and you see two people, one very nice, decent, beautiful dress, and another one with very dirty dress, haphazardly torn and very bad, then you will say that the first man is a respected man, the second one is maybe a foolish man, maybe mad. That is why he's coming in this dress. So see, the dress has its effect. Now, if you see in the society, if you see the women with a decent dress, naturally that has its effect on men as well, and they will feel more serious and be more religious, and they will stop having a bad look to the women. But if they see the women showing all their beauty and moving in a special way and attracting other men, as if they say by their shape, not by their tongue, that come and look to me and see my situation, then that naturally will affect the men and is the beginning of corruption in the society. So the shape itself has its importance, and it has its psychology. If you see an officer with his official dress, naturally will, let us say, fear him or respect him because you see him with that official dress, and there is psychological stimulus and memory in your mind about the police officer with the dress and the role of police in the society and the duty of the police and so on. So when you see his dress, you will get all that impact upon you. Well, maybe this is not a real policeman. Maybe he is a malingerer. Maybe he got this dress by cheating. But still, the effect is there. Now, the same policeman, if he takes that official dress, that uniform, and he comes with ordinary dress, now his personality will differ, no doubt. Now, that respect or that fear or that seriousness is not there when you see him. You see him like any ordinary man. So the dress itself has its impact upon people. So when Islam restricts some of our freedom by order the men or the women to have a dress in a special way, it is actually important for preserving chastity of the society and preventing all types of mischief in the society, because the outlook has its effect and its importance. So the aim is not, as they say, to restrict the freedom of the woman or to put her in jail. No, that was not meant at all. But the aim is only to hide her beauties, because that is for her husband, and her beauty should not be as like public ownership. Everybody get pleasure of her beauty and get excited and have all such bad effects unnecessarily. Well, her beauty, her goods are restricted to her husband, and that is only within her marital house, not to be shown and not to be a sort of exhibition for others. So this dress, hijab, is the dress which will cover the places of stimulation and beauty and stops the bad consequences in the society. Yeah, what I mean, that the duty of all women to be with this dress, with hijab, whether they are Muslim or non-Muslim. The duty, of course, the kafirs, there is not very strict hijab upon kafir like it is upon a Muslim woman. And that shows actually a respect for a Muslim woman, that she is ordered to be in this dress, because that is a sort of respect to her. Others are not looked with that respect. Even the slaves, the female slaves, they are not ordered with the same strict hijab like the free Muslim women. Dress of the Muslim woman is different than dress of the slave. So it shows hijab is a sort of respect. That is why you give responsibility. You don't deal with the child like you deal with the adult. Now, when you trust adult and you give him responsibility, it's not that you are insulting him. On the contrary, you are respecting him. You say, now you are adult, you are wise, and you can be a responsibility. Why you don't give responsibility to children? Not because you love the children more than the adults. No, but you don't give responsibility to children because they cannot bear it. They are not ready for it. They do not deserve it now. So hijab for a Muslim woman is a respect for them. That is why they are asked to be indecent. The rest, you say, okay, it is like animals, because you don't ask animals to have a hijab or to hide its private parts. The animal can do whatever he wants in the sleep, and nobody will ask the animal what is he doing. So you see, when responsibility is there for the human being, responsibility is part of respect and appreciation. That you are wise, you can tolerate responsibility, you can carry your responsibility, and you are supposed to play your role in life in a proper way, in a way which will benefit the society and will help to preserve the values and morals of the society. So you are responsible and you are respected by that responsibility. When someone becomes adult at the age of puberty, now actually it is a date of respect to him. That before you were a child and you were dealt with as a child, there was a lot of restrictions for you being a child, but now today you become a man or a woman and you are now adult. You can take responsibility and you can deserve all the rights of being an adult. So you see, to give responsibility for someone it by itself shows that you respect him and you expect him to be able to carry his duty in life. Otherwise, you don't give responsibility to a mad or a foolish man. You don't give responsibility to a child, and so on. So hijab in this way, as a responsibility of the women to preserve the moral values of the society, is actually a type of respect for the women, though in that respect there is a little restriction of her movement, as she is asked to wear a special dress when she comes out in front of foreign men. The second criticism which is said, he said that hijab will reduce activities of the women. The women have their own ability to work, to be creative, to study, and to show her ability and to take part in life. The women form half the society, or more than half of the society, and they have the right to serve the society and share in building the economy of the society, but by implementing hijab, then we are actually crushing this right of the women, and we are not giving them the freedom to be creative and be useful in taking their role in the society. That is again one of the arguments said by many Western writers, and unfortunately repeated by uneducated Muslim people. Well, some men or women are saying these things together. Well, reply is easy, that in Islam, hijab will not restrict the women from studying, or restrict the women from being active or creative, or doing anything useful in the society. The women can go, can work, can be serious, and can be creative, and can show her ability if she wants. All that is allowed for her. The minor restrictions about her dress will not restrict her from studying, will not restrict her from working, will not restrict her from being creative. But then, unfortunately, certain types of jobs are not meant actually for the woman to be creative, but are meant just to misuse her body and her beauty and make it a sort of a propaganda for that business. So they use some